Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams Realty, a Greater Rochester real estate podcast. This is episode 37. Welcome, Mark. How are you?
I am great, but it's 38 degrees out there.
I have my flip-flops on, my tank top.
And your shorts.
Yes. Yep, and my shorts. Yes. It's 30-whatever before about a foot of snow heads our way tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be having dinner with your mother-in-law and father-in-law tomorrow night in an igloo.
Oh, this is perfect.
And she contacted us, 2 hours ago. Here's what we're going to do. I said, come on, we're not doing this.
Is she going to rent snowmobiles to get you guys there? I would not be surprised.
She's like, no, we're going. They're not going to cancel. I spoke to the meteorologist at Channel 13.
Yeah.
I just got the call 45 minutes ago. And the Kettle Ridge is canceling.
All right.
How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Did you enjoy the celebration of your anniversary?
We did. I know. It's 2 years for my beautiful wife and I. Yeah. It's crazy. It's funny as I begin to get older how I perceive time, right? It's a little bit interesting. I had this conversation with a friend just recently about how once you get out of any sort of schooling, you perceive time differently. That was the timestamp for me. That was the benchmark for me. For my life, 16 years of school with college.
Yeah.
It was always, I could always say this was, junior year, this was whatever.
Sure.
And then you get out, and I'd love to say that birthdays can be that timestamp for me, but I forgot how old I was like 2 months ago for a little stretch. So it's just really not. So time, I don't know, I just perceive it differently. It's harder for me to figure out what happened when. And it's 2 years. But there's so much that has happened.
I would imagine, though, that your new marker are going to be milestones associated with
the
kids.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time I met you?
Yeah.
I was one of those assholes who was like, hi, congratulations on your wedding day. And you're like, and your name is? I remember, Corey, I was like, wow, this is a good guy, like a class act. You're being introduced to hundreds of people for the first time, and you were so gracious each and every. I was like, Court did well. Court, seriously.
So it's great.
Happy anniversary. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Ready to dive into it?
Oh, my God. I mean, you did tell me, so I'm not going to feign surprise this time
around. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. So, again, let's get the market update here. Still waiting for more properties to come on the market. We are currently sitting at 262 single-family active listings for Monroe County. That's just a shade up from 259 just last week.
Wow.
Six-county region, 520. That's up. That's actually down one from last week.
Just insane.
Again, what is attributing to this? I think for a lot of sellers, it's where are we going to go? That's a big question that they're thinking about.
Well,
right?
I know that you're a big fan of my blog post.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm sure that you read the blog post.
I did.
Really? Oh, okay.
You referenced Milli Vanilli.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I do think it's the twin co-conspirators. The co-conspirators of Omicron, the latest variant, and lousy weather.
Yeah.
And so I really am hopeful that 2 weeks from now, we're going to be on the other side
of
this.
Sure. And our projection now is that, because again, when we had Jay Teresi on, he made the point that typically the same amount of properties are sold in a given year. It's just the timing of it is going to be a little different. So we are anticipating that it's going to be shrunk in a bit, the timetable in which all these properties will be sold.
Yes, we got a little catching up to do.
Yeah. Yep. But it'll be all right. I wanted to respond to an email that we got from a listener.
Great.
Who was commenting on these numbers that we share weekly on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, thank you for listening and thank you for reaching out. If you have questions, you can always reach out to us. More than happy to address them. He was looking for a little bit more context to frame what these numbers mean, right?
Okay.
Because, we every week we give you the update of where we're at. But he wanted to know more so in a bigger picture, how do these numbers compare, right? So I just showed Mark the graphic that I pulled up. So these were active listings I scanned between January of this year and January of 2017. Mark, can you describe the shape?
Oh, well, it's as if I'm at the Matterhorn, the top of the Matterhorn, and I'm going to ski down to the bottom, rather precipitously.
It's not great. It's not great. So let's see.
Those are definitely some black diamond drops.
Yeah. So let's see. January of 2021, we were just up a little bit. I don't know the exact numbers, but I don't know, a little under 400 probably. Let's see. January of 2022. We're doing pretty good then. We're around 750 ish. Let's kick it back. Let's go back. Let's go to January 2017. This is the one that's the real kicker. I don't know. By eyeballing it, 2,225 active listings.
And that was 5 years ago, you said?
Yep.
Yeah.
2017. Yeah. Again, 262 right now. So this time, 5 years ago, there was roughly 2,000 more listings.
We've said over the course of the past few months that we were doing the complete reorg of our business, and we've got new processes in place, and we've made a couple of new hires, and we are so ready. I'm like a caged animal. I'm just pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready. Buyers are ready. So, confident that it will happen. Just a matter of when is the big question. And by the way, we could have kept going back, and I believe the graph would have looked pretty much similar. I mean, Mark, you just had a phone call before we even started this, and you said, at one point there was 7,500 listings. That was the norm for so long.
Yeah.
Now, again, one piece of context of this is the fact that properties are moving a lot faster through the process.
Right.
So when you think, holy crap, there's a 2,000 property deficit between the two. Well, it is important to keep in mind the properties we have now are selling in a week, while those might have sat in the market for 2, 3, 4, 5 months.
That's exactly right.
So there is some elevation of the number based on that, but still, 2,000 is 2,000.
Yes. So that was fascinating. I mean, that's a really, really interesting graph. You should actually throw that up on social media.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this next. Obviously, with the we've been talking about it the last several episodes, with the lower amount of properties for sale, the competition remains fierce for buyers.
Well, yeah, you had a really interesting story this past week.
I did. Pushed one through. Feeling good.
I love this story.
Yeah, so I had someone reach out who was actually trying to buy their childhood home.
Wow.
So his parents sold it 25 years ago. Mm. And they actually built a house just down the block, so they're still...
The parents did?
The mom still. The dad's no longer with us. Mm-hmm. But that came on the market, and they jumped at it. And even just walking through the property, the nostalgia, and we've talked about this on the podcast multiple times, of these homes are more than roofs. They're more than walls.
Oh, yeah.
The flood of memories and emotions and the nostalgia that hit them...
Yeah.
Was like, you know, a tidal wave, really. I had a conversation for about 20 minutes with the mother of my buyer, just chatting about it.
And was she emotional?
Yes, very much so.
Really?
Yes, wow. Absolutely. And she just wanted so badly, and he wanted so badly for them to have this home, and how cool it is to come full circle. And you grew up in this house, but now you can start your family in this house. So, we put our best offer in. And I did my thing where I pace, waiting to hear back. So offers due at 4. It's like 8 o'clock, and I still haven't heard anything back yet. And this is how my brain works, because it could be a million different reasons why I haven't heard back. Technically, they have 24 hours to respond, right? But me, I obsess about this stuff. So the longer the time goes on, the more I think to myself. The chances are dwindling as, you know, time goes on. So I get a call, and... they say there's 16 offers on this property.
Wow.
And there's two they're still considering. Yours is one of them. They're going to need to take the night to figure that out, and we'll figure it out in the morning.
Well, we weren't going to.
No, of course not.
We weren't going to have that.
Not going to stop there.
No.
So did some digging, found out a little more of the details of what the situation was, you know, kept my client up to date as best I could on it. And ultimately, we had to wait and see if they were going to get it, and I got that call that we did, and it's really fun to do this job and to have that moment is so awesome, to be able to call someone and say that they got that house. This one was sweeter.
Right, yes.
This one, I mean, again, this is not someone I've worked with for a very long time, so we haven't even really developed that strong of a relationship, I would say. I mean, I've got some buyers that I've had for, you know, months and months and months and months, but it was very easy to jump on board this one and get behind it just because of the emotion behind it and how cool it was.
It's a great story, and there are so many things to unpack there. I mean, one, this comes to us as a result of a long, long term friend. So, Joe Rulison, if you're listening, thank you so much for referring Abby, your daughter, and her boyfriend. Just, we're always so deeply grateful for. I mean, it's the lifeblood of our business.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not buying Zillow leads.
I mean, right.
It's just years and years and years of being engaged in this community. So thank you, Joe. Two, it's just such a sweet story.
It's
such
very cool.
A tender story. And it really just underscores the fact that this isn't always simply about commerce. This isn't always about dollars and cents and money. Yes, you know, it's an enormous component, but that's not the be-all, end-all. And then the last one, I think, you know, you're being rather modest, but you know, you and I had some conversation. I didn't mind being interrupted while I was watching Ozark the other night.
My apologies.
And by the way, if nobody, oh my God, if you haven't seen the final, like, stick
okay,
with,
you suck with it?
Yes.
Okay.
So season four of Ozark, the first few episodes, I was returning email. I was doing all sorts of other things because I wasn't really engaged. That last episode.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Marissa, to her credit, our social media coordinator, she did say stick with it.
So. Unbelievable. Yep, she was right.
So, sorry for interrupting. My apologies.
But that's it. You know, it's 8:30 at night or thereabouts, and the call comes in, and you and I strategized, and you employed some tactics, which I genuinely believe were responsible for this deal. Well, actually, no. Let's just say it. I mean, this was an all-cash deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many other offers that were
16.
Higher, but many other offers than in terms of the price point. Many other offers that were more expensive than this. But I think that these buyers prevailed for two reasons. One, it was all cash, even though other offers came in tens of thousands of dollars above.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, it was working with the other agent, Priscilla Mooney. We love you. I've known you forever. Thank you, Priscilla. Just making sure that her questions were answered and that they were greasing the wheels to make sure that the deal came together. So
you have to.
Just, you know, sitting back and, you know, with your feet up.
No, absolutely not.
You know, waiting for Ruth Langmore eviscerate somebody with her tongue. That's just not the way to sell real estate in this day and age. So
it worked out. So delighted. I want to sag into it. I think this is a good lesson for anyone. I mean, really anyone, but specifically for sellers that, and we've said it before, it's not always the highest price that is the deal that you should accept.
Yeah.
There's so many other factors in play, and we've covered a lot of it in the previous episodes of this podcast. Please go back and listen. You can always find where they are at marksewick.com. But one of the things I don't know if we've spent a lot of time on was talking about appraisal.
You know, before you segue, let me just, and I want to go back to appraisal in just a second.
Yeah.
But I do think, as I'm sitting here thinking about the three bullets that I just threw out there, I'm suddenly coming to the realization they're all about relationships.
Yes,
this is
it's a relationship
all
business.
About relationships. Yes. I mean, you know, Joe Rulison, thank you for referring Abby.
Yeah.
And Priscilla Mooney, thank you very, very much for helping to work with or working with us to make this deal come together. And then finally, you know, the relationship that exists between your buyer and his mom and the relationship that they have with his childhood home. It's all just, it's all about, you know, you got to be at the top of your game, but man, you know, you also got to have these. So there you have
it. It's connection, right?
Yes,
when it comes down to
indeed.
It.
All right. So appraisals.
Yes. So let's get into that. Exactly. Because some people aren't even clear on what an appraisal is, right? Is that an assessment? Is that the value of the house?
Yeah.
So we can define really quick. So when you are in a situation where a bank is going to be backing you, in like a mortgage or a cash guarantee, they want to make sure that the money they're giving you is going, you know, the house you're buying can back up that amount of money, right? So the bank will hire an appraiser to go through and say, yeah, this property is worth X. Now, that's different from, say, an assessment. An assessment's only tax-based. And this is, again, different from also potentially the sale price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what can happen, and again, this is very important for sellers to understand, and I know, Mark, you and everybody on the team does an amazing job of making sure it's very clear that sometimes, even though an offer might be really high, you want to make sure that deal is going to come to fruition.
Great. You get, you know, $100,000 over asking price, but if it doesn't close,
who cares, right? Yeah.
Right.
So you want to make sure that there's one of two things happening here when it comes to appraisal. You want to make sure that it's going to be in the range of what it is, you know, being sold for, or the offer is covering some sort of appraisal gap coverage.
The buyer has the buyer, cash in hand to make up the difference that might exist between what the bank is appraising it for and what the actual sale price of the property
is. So walk through what would happen. Let's just say we have client A. Client A has a house that they're listing for $200,000, and there's one offer that's $250,000, and there's another that's $300,000, but the house is only going to appraise for $255,000 maybe. And there's no appraisal gap coverage. What could potentially happen if they accept that $300,000 offer?
More likely than not, it's not going to appraise out. We know that.
Yep.
That's one. Two, the deal is either going to fall apart because the buyer isn't going to secure, buyer B is not going to secure financing, or the buyer is going to try to renegotiate the purchase price. So I think where you're leading us is there might be, I mean, there's too strong a possibility that the deal might fall apart.
Yep.
You might very well, the seller might very well be better off just accepting the lower price offer, knowing that it's
going to actually especially close. Cash or cash guarantee.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's important to keep that in mind because a lot of people would probably think, no, I just take the highest offer.
Yes. Yeah.
So that helped us in this situation. So again, congratulations to them. It was glad it came together. That's very exciting stuff.
Congratulations indeed.
Well, the next thing I want to talk about, Mark, is something that has been a theme on the podcast of trying to be creative and find different ways of acquiring property, right? And I've seen this more recently. People teaming up with friends, with family, in trying to invest in real estate.
Oh.
Versus just doing it on your own.
Okay.
With the thought behind, well, obviously, if you have more than one person, you have more buying power.
Yep.
I wanted to do some do's and don'ts, perhaps. Maybe pick your brain, some experience of some do's and don'ts when you are teaming up with others on a property.
Oh my God!
You know, be it a rental.
I'm just going to go back to what my dear friend Julie Holzbach.
Mark might
told
be a little
me.
Bitter.
Oh my God! No, Julie, I know that Julie listens. Julie, you taught me many, many, many years ago, decades ago, literally, that partners are for dancing. And Julie, that was those were actually. Can I segue for a moment here?
Yeah, of course.
Next week, I'm very, very, very excited. I am taking Julie Holzbach, Diana Boucher, and Gar Lowenguth, three friends. When I started in this business back in 1990, so 30 some years ago, these three just put their arms around me. Oh my God, I would not be where I am today, save for the fact that these three individuals were kind, they were great mentors, they were patient with me, and I am still to this day deeply, deeply indebted. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with them because it's been a long, long while. But I remember, have I ever told you the story? My apologies if I have or if I've talked about this on the podcast. I was at one point in time when I was first starting out, I was desperately trying to buy rental property and I didn't have a lot of cash to do renovations. So I had a relationship with a contractor and the relationship was I was going to come up with a down payment, I was going to find the properties, I was going to do the contracts, all that, and this contractor would then roll up his sleeves and do all the renovations.
Sure.
So
find perfect this combination, perfect pairing, right?
Yeah, it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup. I mean, just perfect. So the two of us find this great property on the corner in Wadsworth Square in the city. Nice little neighborhood off of Monroe Avenue. We renovate the top floor, and this contractor says, "Okay, Mark, go ahead, and we're going to move you into the bottom." And you're going to move, you're going to stay in the bottom, and then I will renovate the property around you. It's like, okay, that's terrific. Well, 6 weeks after I move into this place, and by the way, it had been abandoned for like 25 years.
Oh, perfect. So it was in great shape.
It was an old printing press on the first floor. All of the windows were covered over with plywood. The floors, as I said, were all plywood. There were some old presses in there. There was sawdust for some reason everywhere. Huh. There was ink. There was oil. It was just a mess. So he says, okay, so I'm going to start renovating this place over the course of the next 6 weeks. He jerry-rigs a $50 or $75 plastic shower stall. I get and
you're living here.
And I buy a microwave. And after like 6 weeks, I'm like, when are you going to start renovating? And he's putting me off and putting me off, and the time is passing. He finally says to me, Mark, I'm really sorry, but I have to declare bankruptcy. And he disappeared.
Seriously.
Disappeared. And so all of a sudden, I'm living in squalor.
Yeah.
Long story short, I lived in those conditions, I think, 6 to 8 months before the place was finally renovated. The moral of that is that Julie Holzbach is right, that partners are for dancing, from my perspective. That's probably a story that takes you way off of the track that you were hoping to go
down. No. That's actually not, because, again, it's do's and don'ts.
Well, the huge don't.
It's a big don't. So if you go back in time, you now having this knowledge, you know, aside from don't do it, was there another course of action that you could have taken? And I have an idea.
It was so long ago, and money was so tight. I think the course of action would have, I honestly can't, in regard to that particular scenario, give you what I should have done differently, just not knowing what my
circumstances were. Can I give a suggestion?
I was going to say, so what were you going to suggest? Yeah.
Everything in writing.
But you know what,
can you hold him to that?
Even then, it wouldn't matter. Even if we're in writing, the guy's going through bankruptcy.
Right,
so, like,
sure,
what am I going to do? Like, look here. You know, you've signed this document.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's true.
And then how do you enforce it? Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that because there's a lot of people that do this with family, and they think, oh, it's my brother. Oh, it's my cousin.
Yes.
You know, they're not going to screw me over. But when it comes down to it, you want to have some assurances.
I will say that family, you know, probably is safer than doing it with
random contractor.
Random contractor. Yeah. And the guy's name was Peter, and really, really, honestly, a very nice man.
Yeah.
Who just, you know,
he just couldn't.
Just couldn't pull it together. Mm. So, but these investments, it is tough, and I think that the advice that I would give is as soon as, you know, buy your first few and then hope for the best.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're able to start buying them on your own, just divest.
Sure.
Of course there are, like, well, Josh Bartolotto from my team, you know, he's got a longstanding friend, you know, a friend for the past 20, 25 years who he's been buying rental property with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going well. And you think of a guy like Larry Glazer, you know, who Harold Samloff, you know, was a business partner of his, et cetera, et cetera. They've done really well. But most, you know, the Flums have done it all through family. And you think about the Galinas, they're doing it all through family.
Sure,
so
yeah.
It's mostly family-based. It's not often that you get business partners, especially when you're first starting out.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
No, I think it's great insight.
Wow.
Mark's like, never, ever. Ever again.
But I've been very, very, very fortunate. I mean, you know, I put my head down. I was like, okay, I mean, you just hope and pray. No, you know what? You always, I guess the advice, if you work really, really, and this is part of the video that I did outside of Breck Street that's on YouTube.
Yeah, your first rental.
The first rental property. You just, if you remain optimistic and if you just always assume that tomorrow is going to be easier than the day than today is, and the day after that is going to be easier than the day after. Just put your head down and just keep pushing through. And perseverance, you'll make it happen.
For sure.
But if you give up too easily, and I think that's where most people fail, is they give up too easily.
Yeah, because, anything worth a damn in life is hard, right?
Yeah,
or else everybody would do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said.
So there we go. Okay. Well, little insight there. Definitely want to have communication up front. That's a big thing for sure. Make sure everyone knows what the deal is, and if you do plan on going this way. And then lots of praying, apparently.
Lots and lots and lots of praying, yes.
I have one more thing I wanted to get to before we wrap up the podcast here. So typically a little behind the scenes, a little pullback of the curtain here. Typically we will go through and see if there's any, you know, real estate news out there. Not a lot, right? It's pretty dry.
I mean, there's not only are there no property in the market for sale, and there's very little real estate activity. You know, you and I both scoured the internet over the course of the past few days. There's just no national real estate news. Mm. Nothing.
That's true. I found one article that I found to be fun. And this was actually a Consumer Report.
I'm bracing myself.
From a TV station in Philadelphia, and it's about tips for buying houses in a hot real estate market.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that we've talked about on the podcast. I'm not even interested in any of that. The thing that stuck out to me is just, let me read this one little piece.
Okay.
Because this is creative. I respect the hustle of this thought. They say, and I will read directly from the article, while trying to close a deal on a new home with Acreage, Consumer Reports' own Lisa Gill made a creative offer. Quote, sellers had two aging donkeys on the property, so to sweeten the deal, I told them I would keep them. Looking for every possible angle that you can.
And did she prevail?
Turned into a giant disaster for her. It did not. She was not bit by a donkey, none of that. It didn't end up working, but I just respect the, sometimes you just gotta throw a lot of stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
I agree.
It doesn't hurt to offer that we'll keep the donkeys if you want us to, right?
There was a point in time up until recently where we as agents would have our clients write sweetheart letters.
Yes.
To sellers of property saying, hey, my son Jimmy, he's got an iron lung and, you know, just loves the fact that this property has such fresh air, you know, and please. Sellers were moved by these letters.
Oh, of course. Again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's an emotional thing.
Yes, exactly. And to your point, you know, just now, you know, just keep throwing against the wall and be creative and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I've never heard of. I'm
no donkeys?
Shocked that she didn't have her bail. Shocked. So,
I mean, can you imagine? Jeez. Yes. Up on the website, always great to go check out all the content up there. Of course, we have all of our listings at marksewick.com. If you want to take a look, we should probably talk about The Moorings are now live.
The Moorings, yes.
I'm very excited about this project. We've mentioned it on the podcast quite a bit. It's a 42-unit luxury condo project on the north end of Keuka Lake. That is just getting off the ground here, and it is now live and rolling over on the multiple listing service. So if you want to get more info on that, definitely.
We're holding it open now on Saturdays and Sundays from 1 till 3.
And Wednesdays as well.
And Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Is that from 1 to 3 also?
I believe so.
Okay.
If you want to check out the property right now, you can see where these homes, there's a bunch that are already in the process of being built. But it's going to be absolutely incredible.
It really is. I mean, the clubhouse itself is spectacular, and we will. Dixon Schwabel is working on a really beautiful website.
Oh, it's awesome!
That website will go live within the next 3 weeks, I think. And so, people, but until then, you can go to Facebook, The Moorings on Keuka, I believe. Or you can go to the current website. But it really is. If you're in the Finger Lakes and you want to stop in, please do so. Just to pass a little bit of time in the clubhouse. It's really great.
And I can't stress enough, the tax savings on these things is unlike anything I've ever heard of.
You're paying taxes one-third of what your neighbors a quarter of a mile away who own a single-family residence are paying.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
so
it really is.
So that's up there. The rest of the listings as well, marksewick.com, of course, previous podcasts. And then our contact info if you want to reach out. If you have any questions, podcast-related, real estate-related, anything, we're always happy to chat with people. Because what is this, Mark? It's a relationship.
It is all about relationships.
That's
how do
right.
they How do they reach you? What's your phone number?
607-341-1230.
Great.
And always happy to chat. So thank you again for listening. We do appreciate it. If you do have any questions that you want us to answer on the podcast, you can always reach out as well. And we'll talk to you again next week on Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran.